Shop the Sherwin-Williams Spring Sale and get 35% off paints and stains March 13th through the 23rd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go, hour number two of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go. Wherever you may be on this Monday, kids are all gradually getting back to school. Traffic is picking up because of it, but everybody getting back to their in-season.
Was traffic bad for you?
There was an accident. Nick, you might not have hit it, but there was. I was running a little late today, and there were two accidents. So I was in some. At one point, I looked at the clock, going, "Man, if this is jammed up, I might be in trouble." But it did clear up pretty quick.
I was on the road at 9:30, so if it happened after
you were. That's your fault.
I missed it for sure. But
the hell were you on the road at 9:30?
Why are you on the road at 9:30?
I was here early. I was here about like 10.
For what?
I mean, I'll get here 2 hours. 3 hours is a little bit early. 2 hours before the show is about normal. But yeah,
that don't make no sense.
I should be playing video games. I should be playing more RBI 2019, really.
No, you should be playing a real baseball game. But yeah, you should be at home.
Well, I don't have that console. I'm not fancy like you.
Well, anything where you can be getting up-to-date information on, like...
You chose poorly.
...current players.
Gave my gamer tag out on Twitter, and no one still...
That's because no one plays on that old-ass console.
Is it that old?
Yes.
They're coming out with a new one, I think.
What do you want, an Xbox negative one?
It's an Xbox... I don't know. It's an Xbox One, which I'm hoping is the latest.
Xbox 180? You didn't even get the 360?
I didn't even get the full one. I got the half.
360. Just.
I still got the 360. That thing is running like a champ, by the way.
Yeah?
Oh.
Well, no one plays Xbox anymore.
PlayStation
All
is
the
dominant
games
console.
Are on PlayStation. And the 5 is supposed to be coming out soon. So
can't wait.
You going to get a 5?
I might. Honestly, yeah, might switch to Sony. I'm not even playing.
You totally should.
So Fancy Pants... Who's normally
is that me?
No.
Oh.
Who's normally
I want to be fancy pants.
Can I get to why he's fancy pants?
Nope.
So normally Nick is our guy that is our day to day on top of everything with going to all the games and the locker room information, all that other stuff. But Mr. Fancy Pants had himself a dress up formal occasion on Saturday night, some big gala. So he didn't go to the Texans game.
He put the never mind.
No.
What was the gala for?
It was for the Aga Khan Foundation. Actually, Raheel was supposed to speak at that event. He was supposed to MC that event.
Really?
And then he cancels all of them like a big timer.
What is Aga Khan?
The Aga Khan Foundation? Yeah. That's been around for years, man. They don't necessarily they help all people, unprivileged people. They've been around for probably 40 years, I want to say. The Aga Khan. Yeah.
That was ho-ish to cancel. Why did he cancel?
He said he had to go to some wedding, but Isaiah Carey ends up emceeing the event anyway.
Upgrade.
So it works. That's what I told the guy that was organizing the event. Did you tell him I got an upgrade for emceeing? He's like, no, I didn't do that to him, man.
You totally should have.
But yeah, I went to this fancy gala, and the only thing is that they don't really give you they tell you what food they're serving you, but it's not something that you choose from. Like, it's a 3-course meal. You know, they've got the appetizer, they've got the entree, they've got the dessert. Mm-hmm. But whatever's on that menu, you kind of have to eat. And I'm not really big on seafood. I think I've said that before.
Mm-hmm.
And they were serving sea bass and shrimp. And I didn't want to be the one guy that didn't eat my plate. So I...
What do they have on the side? Like, do they have anything good? Like
rice?
Just rice.
Okay.
Just rice and mushrooms, honestly. Okay. And so I delved in because I didn't want to be that guy.
And?
Boy, did I pay the price the next day.
Why? Are you allergic or?
I don't know. I just.
You just boo boo
I just
all
don't
day or
eat
what?
Seafood.
Throw up?
Often. And I'm not going to lie. I was spending the night at this girl's house, full disclosure.
Oh, okay.
I guess and not
I did,
too much, but
I did not want to
participate.
Poop in her toilet.
I did, and I had to. I had
really?
No choice. I didn't think I'd make it. I live 15, 20 minutes away, so I just destroyed her toilet.
Okay.
I don't know if she knows yet.
Can I give you some pointers for this next time?
Okay.
So first and foremost, you got to wait at least until you're going to shower. Then you'd be like, hey, can I grab a quick shower? So then you just go in and you turn the water on. And then you boo.
That's such a genius idea.
And then that way she doesn't know that. The steam helps get rid of it. And then you can be like, you come out and you're like, yeah, it was so, you know, the shower felt. Then just hop in and get wet. You don't even got to clean. Just maybe do boom and do the boys. That way, you know, if something happens, you smell good down there. Yeah. She's not like, well, I thought you showered. and then you just hop out. You know, she doesn't know. The other thing would be like, hey, you know what? I feel like I want some ice cream. I'm going to run the store. I'll be right back. You want anything? Run to the store, boo-boo while you're out, find a place. McDonald's is always open.
The second idea I don't agree with only because I don't even think I would have made it to the store.
I was going
to
think. Yeah, well, say, by the time you get all in the car and drive somewhere. The first one is a fantastic idea.
But that's the two ways you can get out of it.
Absolutely.
Is you can say, hey, I'm going to run to the store and grab something. Do you want anything? Because I'm really craving an ice cream or a Snickers bar or a soda or so whatever she doesn't have in the house. Don't be like, I want some vanilla ice cream. She's like, oh, I got vanilla ice cream. Lady, I got a boo-boo. All right, I gotta go. But you come up with something that she doesn't have, make a trip to the store. Just stop at McDonald's.
You're a man of experience, because the only thing I had was the sound of a toilet flushing and hoping that it would cover the sound of the disaster.
Flushing as much as possible.
And I don't know if it was loud enough, quite honestly.
Oh,
but
man.
I tried.
Now,
the worst is when the girls have to do it, though.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to hear it.
You don't want to hear them?
No.
I'm kind of with Nick.
No way.
I would rather hear it than smell it.
Well, I don't want to do either one.
I don't want to walk in and be like, oh, my God.
Like, I'm proud of my own, but I don't want to have a female
go.
Do that.
I know you already went, but you got to go. That is terrible. Yeah, I feel bad because it could happen, and it's happened one time when I was single. I had a date over, and she was like, I really have to use the restroom. I was like, yeah, no problem. And I'm thinking she just had to pee.
Right.
Man, like 30 minutes later, I was like, where is she?
Oh, my God.
And there's no cool way. There's no smooth way to come out after 30 minutes.
Nope.
Be like, what I missed? The whole movie, bitch. Like,
like if you think the walk of shame is bad.
You're talking about what I miss? Oh, my God. Is there?
You think the walk of shame is bad and you got to come out a half hour later?
I hope you took a bath afterwards.
30
Good
minutes. That's
Lord.
Two episodes on Netflix. Where were you?
Right? Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's a bit much. So, yeah. Nick, did you have control of it, though? Because I was going to say, then the other thing is you got to take into consideration if you're staying over, you got to monitor the extracurriculars in case you're like getting down to business and it's time to get down to business.
I was just happy I had control over it until I got to the toilet. After that, I didn't stay too long. I was like, I got to go.
Man.
You're like, look,
I really got to go.
You don't want to be getting down and all of a sudden have a geyser blow because you didn't have control of it.
You don't want me spending the night.
The thing is, I actually was impressed with the sea bass. I didn't think it tasted that bad. It looked like it was cooked right and everything.
Is sea bass a fishy fish?
It didn't smell fishy.
Because I'll do like cod and whitefish and not real fishy fish.
The least fishy of fish is probably salmon.
No, not true. Not true.
I couldn't tell you guys because I'm just not big on seafood. So
because I lived in Portland and up in the Pacific Northwest where, I mean.
Well, we'll agree to disagree.
Salmon is like salmon popular is, and I could never
me,
stomach
salmon
it.
Salmon is closer to steak than it is fish.
But it tastes really fishy.
Nah,
like,
I disagree.
Cod is a white fish. It doesn't have any fishy fish taste to it at all.
I don't know about that.
Okay.
I think cod is like what they use in like Long John Silver's when you get fish. It's like a very generic-ass fish.
As long as it doesn't taste fishy, I'm good with it.
Yeah. I don't mind seafood. I don't know. It doesn't make me sick either. Yeah.
Shrimp and lobster and crab, I can do.
I can pretty much do everything except, like, oysters. Can't do that.
You do crawfish?
I don't like crawfish because it takes too damn long. And it's kind of dirty.
I was going to say the dirty part is what I strike you as being not being able to do. Mm.
It feels
I don't
gross.
Do the crawfish because I had them one time in, like, Chicago. And with some friends and had like broke out in hives and got a bad. I was like, no, I'm not doing that again.
Ooh, yeah, no, yeah, don't. Well, so did she answer your phone calls afterwards?
Yeah, we're
you
cool.
You tore up her bathroom, or was yeah, she just like, let's just be friends?
No, we're cool. We're still cool.
Okay,
we're still cool.
That's good.
So instead of like coming over to the next time with a bottle of wine, you can just bring in some like liquid plumber.
Wow.
So, I mean, you give me, hey, I'm here for you next time. My bad.
I honestly don't know if she doesn't know or she knows and she's too embarrassed to bring it up. Like, I don't know which which of the two.
If that's the case, that means she really likes you. Because otherwise, if she didn't, there was your out.
Well,
like,
that's
you came
true.
In and blew up my bathroom. I'm done with you, man. That's just, I'm grossed out. That's nasty. I could never see you again. But if she's covering for it, if she does know and she's not talking about it, that means she really likes you.
I don't know.
Have you reached out to her since?
Yeah, we've been texting. We're cool. Oh, okay. We're still cool.
Okay, good.
I'm just saying there was no mention of it, so I don't know like why she hasn't mentioned it.
Does she know you're on the radio?
Yeah.
Well, she knows now.
No, she listens. She listens.
Is she listening right now?
The first hour.
Oh, that's why you waited.
Works. Yeah, that's how her schedule works.
That's why you waited.
Kind of like Joel.
Kind of like me with the parental pickup line. Yep.
It's the first hour for me.
Yeah.
So
and
we
you
can't
go and spoil both of them.
Well, if I would have known this, I would have certainly brought it up in the 1 o'clock hour. I'm so mad now.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right. I'll just do it again tomorrow. Hey, Nick, you pooped in any other girls' bathrooms? 105.
That's nice. On his phone, he'll have the toilet flushing sound in the background.
Here's something I always did when I was single. If I asked a girl out and she said no, I just imagined her pooping and it made everything better. I'm like, you're gross anyway, so never mind. It always makes it better. You're like, oh, yeah, you're disgusting. Gross.
Ways we deal with rejection.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
All right.
I just picture I just stare at him. I'd be like, you want to go out? No. You're gross. And then I'd walk off. That was it. That's all it took. It's that simple. You can use that if you need to.
Wow. Okay. All right. So you didn't go to the game, Nick. I watched the Texans game because I have obviously had no life and have nothing else going on. You were busy too. So
yeah.
When we get back, let's break down a little bit of the Texans game.
Yeah,
like
let's
I said,
do it.
Most people were into it right away this morning.
My wife recorded it. I did miss the good drive.
Which was a good drive.
Yeah. But I got out of it what I wanted to, which was checking out some of the offensive line and some other players.
Cool. So we'll get down a little Texans business after that, after this break. So if you want to join us and get in on some Texans talk, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, you can hit us up on Twitter. So before we do any of that, catch a break. Be back in a couple minutes right here on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number two, 3 hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. You know how we like to do it? We like to take care of you, the listeners. And since we're getting more hip to the fact that a lot of you do the app and the stream and all these different ways of keeping track of the show, we want to do things a little differently to give everybody a chance to win. So what we're going to do is we're going to give you a chance to win tickets to Rascal Flatts.
Yes.
Coming up. It's kind of a big deal. I mean, August 29th, Smart Financial Center, Rascal Flatts is going to be here for an evening full of their award-winning hits. So we'll go 2:45 p.m. Mark your calendar, your time, your watches, your whatever. Mm-hmm. At 2:45 p.m., caller 10, you win two tickets to see Rascal Flatts. 713-780-3776. If you don't win them and you want to get them, livenation.com. Good luck. 2:45 p.m., caller number 10.
.com. All right, so what was your big takeaway from Texans?
I said, and
your
I don't
one
know,
big thing. I don't know why I did that. That's not a thing we do here.
I'm gonna say two things. One,
no,
I'm not,
you only get one.
I don't like that.
Okay, you can do two.
Quickly, I didn't expect to see Deshaun Watson, but the way the fluidity, the accuracy, and the efficiency of the way the offense in that first drive was able to be effective really was encouraging to me. And then secondly, and I like what they did for the preseason in isolating on the rookies, but I think between Sharping and Howard, I don't care if they play guard or tackle, I think these are two guys that are going to be staples on the line for this team, and they showed that they have enough talent that I think they're going to be around for a while, so I'm encouraged by that.
I feel like the Howard thing to me was pedestrian at best. They were like, oh, look at him get up the line on this run block. Well, it was a double team. and he had outside leverage, and it wasn't all that great. And that on the one drive where I saw that they zoomed in on him, everything was eh.
And I'm not saying he played left guard.
Then he moves to left tackle and gives up a sack. So for me, seeing Howard, he was pedestrian at best.
I like the fact that he could play guard and tackle. I thought that, you know, until he broke his finger, I thought he showed some glimpses as well, though, in terms of some of the run blocking, some of the pass blocking to me. And like I said, those two guys, at least it looked like they didn't completely swing and miss and whiff. Because you look at it, and look, all the young offensive linemen in this league are going to get used and abused at some point. And the kid that you know the Texans missed on, the kid from Philadelphia, I saw him give up a big sack.
Oh, yeah.
Which cost one of their backup quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So it's going to happen.
I don't even think Howard was playing against ones when all that went down either. So
that I don't recall. But I thought he had some good signs, too. But I like the way these kids play. They look athletic enough. They don't look like Xavier Suafilo to me in a Texas jersey.
So. Okay. Yeah, it wasn't all that impressive to me. I tell you what was impressive. And it was just my one big thing because it was one big play. But Jarrell Adams absolutely manhandled the cornerback. I don't remember who it was of the Lions. But he slapped that dude to the ground like it reminded me of Debo on Friday. Like, it was just nasty. And I thought, oh, that's a wake-up call. And then I did like during the broadcast they had on what's his name that does all the breakdown? John.
Oh, it's Lance's
former
buddy.
1560 guy. Yeah.
I did this exact same thing with Nick. He used to be the sideline reporter for
John
for
Harris.
Texans. John Harris. There you go.
John Harris is really good at what
he
does.
He's a football geek, and he owns it, and he just knows the game.
Well, he was talking about the tight ends, because after I saw Jarrell Adams play a little bit, I was like, ooh, I need to kind of pay attention to this position battle. What's going on here? And he said literally that all five of the tight ends on this Texans team, now this isn't my take, this is his, but he said that literally all five of the tight ends on this team could be playing on Sunday. Maybe not all with the Texans, obviously, because they're not going to carry five tight ends, but all of them have a skill set to land a job somewhere in the NFL. So that's encouraging to see. And when you see something like that with Adams, you think, wow, now he did whiff on a bad block at the previous play or two plays prior. So obviously his blocking needs some work. Mm-hmm. But if that's the kind of skill he possesses, damn. That was crazy to watch. And then, of course, there was the Vincent Smith touchdown catch in the back of the end zone. I don't know what was more impressive, his concentration on hauling that ball in and dropping to his knees to get two knees in bounds, or the throw. Because Webb threw an absolute dime. And I thought, damn. Webb might really be a player as your backup quarterback.
That I will say I got the gist of right away. I was like, look, for all of the years, the last couple of years, I've been complaining about stop getting the guy that's the exact opposite of your quarterback as your backup as a just in case and get a guy that can play similarly. I think they have their backup quarterback, and I don't care what A.J. McCarron brings. I love the composure, the tough – he can run with the football. I think he's impressed me.
He made a few throws. Now, I didn't watch his whole performance in game. In fact, I missed game one. But that throw lets you know that he does have a skill set. Like he's not going to be great. He may never even be good. But if it's one of those things where Watson gets injured in a game and he's going to miss the rest of the game, you could do worse than Webb. I mean, obviously, I think A.J. McCarron has greater potential and upside. But I was pleasantly surprised and pleased at the way Joe Webb played. And now he did have some rough patches. Again, I'm not suggesting that he's great. I'm not even suggesting that he's good. He's good enough for a backup, I think.
Sure, but so, I like the fact that again, in years past,
especially as an emergency,
if you
backup.
Had Whedon and all, and when Watson went down, you had to completely rewrite the playbook where you wouldn't have to do this with
Webb. Right.
So I like what Webb brings.
Yeah, and I think Webb as your emergency quarterback, if that's who he is, if that's what he's going to be, like he has been in the past. I would be fine with that. I feel like that's a guy. I mean, I do think A.J. McCarron is a better quarterback, but Webb showed me something. So that's cool. Because you're not used to – usually it's just one of those, whatever, that Jordan Tamu or whoever the hell that kid is. I mean, if you watch him play, and I didn't even stick around to watch him play, but because it doesn't matter. He's not going to be here in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's just kind of a stopgap filler until McCarron gets back. I thought that the receiving corps showed some depth. And like you said, there are some guys that showed that they are going to find a spot on a roster somewhere, whether it be here or elsewhere. I kind of like the fact that some of the running backs showed some glimpses, at least giving you some extra depth in case you need it, depending on what you do with Duke Johnson and when he's able to return. But again, it's the second preseason game.
Yeah. When we talked on Friday, a couple things. I mean, you said you were kind of surprised that Deshaun Watson played. I wasn't, because Sarah Barshop suggested that he would probably see a series. So our insider there was right. And our other insider for the week, Cody, suggested to keep an eye on DeAndre Carter. And he was targeted three times. He had three catches on those three targets, averaged 13 yards a catch. So, you know, the things that we talked about on Friday with our guests kind of panned out a little bit. So it was interesting to kind of watch it and see, oh, yeah, this is what we talked about. This is what's going down. So, but I think the encouraging thing that you walk away from this is your offensive ones looked pretty damn good while they were mm-hmm. in the game. And that's always good. And then, you know, Merciless getting in and getting some time was good. So, yeah. All in all, I mean, it's a positive. As bad as they probably looked in the Green Bay game, there's a lot of positives I think you could take away from this game.
Nick, you catch up on it at all, or have any thoughts about anything?
I mean, if we're talking about things that, like, encourage, I think Whitney Merciless had a strip sack. For me, the tight ends is not necessarily a big storyline, but I think within this story it kind of is. So to see that, that I think it was a first down reception by Jordan Thomas, I believe it was. That's encouraging. To me, the two encouraging things would probably be Whitney Merciless and the tight ends. I really want to see what they can do to kind of supplement what else they have on offense. So that would be the two takeaways that I have of the game, going back and looking at highlights and reading what I was able to read, because I did not watch the game live.
You know, one of the things I found interesting during the broadcast is they put up Fairbairn's stats from last year.
Saw it. Mm-hmm.
He led the league in a lot of stuff. I didn't realize that. Inside 40, he didn't miss.
Oh, he's been pretty steady. I mean, when you talk
he's
about...
He's been steady, but not great. But, that, I mean, he had a 50-yarder. He was 3-for-3 in field goals, 3-for-3 in extra points. Dude is...
You think about it. They went from the thicker kicker in Bullock.
Yeah.
Who, like, was, you know, last in field goals, but first at the buffet line. And then you go to a guy like Fairbairn, where you don't have to bring in competition. You see all these different teams. Then we mentioned some of them. The Bears struggling to find a kicker and you know, all mm-hmm. the things that they've been through with the team they put around them. And everybody bringing in, Packers brought in competition for Mason Crosby because he had an off year.
Really?
So when you start thinking about things like that, but you look at the Texans, that's one position they don't have to worry about. Granted, it's the kicker, but hey, that's a valuable position to have a guy you can just rely on like that. That's pretty automatic.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll continue to roll on that. We also got some fun stuff and funny stuff that came out of the NFL recently that we can touch on as well. This helmet gate thing that won't go away with Antonio Brown has been all of the talk. And so we'll get to some of that in the second half of the show. And again, if you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HR&P Listener Line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Second half's coming up next right here on ESPN 97.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
I see you. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Second half of the big show, The Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Monday in the big city. As we continue to kick it around for you, we were kicking around some Texans as they get ready for what should be a very spirited game in a lot of ways coming up this week as they take on, you know, everybody says week three. That's when they actually play the starters the most, and it's a dress rehearsal and all those things. So very apropos that they're playing the Cowboys.
Yes. Don't they usually play them, though?
I think normally it's week four when no one plays. Or I think the last time the two teams squared off, the Cowboys have had the cushiest of cush. They go to California for camp. They play their first game against like the Niners or the Rams in Cali. Then they go to Hawaii to play their second preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, pretty cush.
Okay.
And then they come back, and now this they're going to play the Texans. I think it's a good test for both teams. I think it'll be interesting to see a lot of things. And hopefully it is the case that it's a dress rehearsal, and we see three quarters of the ones from both teams. So yeah, we can really judge a lot of things and get a good look at both squads.
Yeah. Billy hit me up and asked about Howell and thoughts on that. And he said, have y'all even talked about that yet? And yeah, he showed out too. I know a lot of folks were really impressed with Buddy Howell and what he did. I think he led everybody with 84 yards rushing. I didn't stick around for the whole game because I saw what I wanted to saw, which was the starters on the O-line and then some of that tight end work. But I think Howell was impressive, but man, there's a lot of competition from a lot of undrafted free agents.
Well, that's what I said. The kid from Michigan's not bad either. I like their depth at running back.
Yeah. Who turned in? Let's see. What was it? Yeah. Howell had the 84 yards rushing. I think a lot of people think it's probably Crockett will be the third back to get that get that gig. I mean, that's, again, it just depends on who you talk to.
True.
Because some people like Howell, especially after this performance. But Crockett was a name that was high on a lot of people's list. Ferguson. It is a lot of – there's a lot of opportunity for a guy to be a special teamer.
Oh, there's no doubt
about
it.
That's what they're going to be at the end of the day, because you've got Miller, you've got Duke Johnson. So you're really talking about guys fighting for a spot on special teams. But if you go out and you put up average 5.6 yards a carry and put up 84 yards – and score a touchdown, that's going to go a long way. And it, just as long as you also perform on special teams. So
right now they have Miller, Duke Johnson.
Yep.
And then third would be a tie between Buddy Howell and Josh Ferguson.
Okay. You've got Crockett. You've got, what's his name? Tywan Jones also.
Higdon.
Yeah. There's, like I said, there's five guys that even before they made the Duke Johnson trade that they were looking at. So,
and I'll say this. I mean, you can laugh at it. They drafted like they were doing the hometown thing when they drafted Cullen Gillespie, the A&M 12th man. I can't tell you how many special teams plays where I saw him the first guy down right on either making the tackle or being around the tackle. That's a guy you want on special teams. Their special teams, actually, Cody joked about it, but he's right. I mean, their special teams look a lot better.
But remember, Gillespie was kind of groomed for that. I mean, that's what the 12th man at A&M does is special teams. Now, he had a bigger role than that. But when you take that, when you put on that number 12 at A&M, you know you're going to be doing a lot of kickoff coverage and a lot of return. So that's kind of where it starts and ends for guys like Gillespie. But yeah, I don't know if he's going to make the squad, but he seems to be around the ball a lot and seems to be getting a ton of mentions every time I see somebody talking about a game or practice. So,
and I like it. If they're talking about Webb as being a guy that not only can be an emergency quarterback, but also because of the way he plays special teams, well, you know what? You can have a guy like that, that if you have the proper depth on your squad, that you could have a guy that brings energy and really handles special teams well. So,
Speaking of folks asking if we've talked about stuff, somebody on Twitter, Larry, was asking, have we mentioned Antonio Brown yet? I wanted to lead off this discussion with some audio. Raiders GM Mike Mayock addressed the situation, and I think this is telling as to where the Raiders are right now with Antonio Brown, because as you know, Helmetgate has been going on, and we all thought it was squashed, and now it's reared its ugly head again. And according to Mike Mayock, I think the Raiders have had enough.
You all know that AB is not here today, right? So here's the bottom line. He's upset about the helmet issue. We have supported that. We appreciate that, okay? But at this point, we've pretty much exhausted all avenues of relief. So from our perspective, it's time for him to be all in. We're all out, okay? So we're hoping he's back soon. We got 89 guys busting their tails. We are really excited about where this franchise is going, and we hope AB is going to be a big part of it starting week one against Denver. End of story. No questions.
Now, that's the key. And again, you don't know how much of all of this on both sides is being altered by Hard Knocks, too, because he's an attention whore in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. The Raiders are looking to at least try to be entertaining and relevant. But at the same time, Mayock, that wasn't his scheduled press conference. He was not scheduled to talk. He went and found the media cluster and said, I have a statement, made the statement, made sure there were no questions. But that's the first time you saw someone draw a line in the sand and go, all right, Because Gruden's kind of got to be the guy that plays both sides, because you just got him, and you know without him, you're screwed.
That was going to be my take, is I think that this was planned. I'm sure Gruden is sick of it, but the problem is he can't come out and say it because you don't want to lose a guy like Brown. You need to be on the same side as Brown. And so this is the opportunity to let Mike Mayock be the bad guy and come out and say, all right, enough's enough. Let's all move on. You're either going to play or you're not going to play. This is getting ridiculous. All the while, John Gruden is encouraging this, but he's able to kind of stay back and not have to absorb the brunt of the hate from Brown once he returns. So he kind of stays clean, and that relationship doesn't get damaged at all, because they do need him. I mean, they're going to need him.
I definitely feel like Gruden has frustration as well, but I think you're right. He's not going to be the guy that really shows it, but I think deep within him,
oh yeah,
he needs his guy out there, and he needs to be able to tell the media that, yeah, Antonio Brown is good to go, and I don't really have any problems because I know he's going to be ready come week one, and when we need him to practice, he can practice. Obviously, that's not the case, but I think Gruden has shares these frustrations, but like you mentioned, he's kind of have to be a player's coach right now.
He's got to play both sides, okay?
Yep.
And the other thing then, of course, because Drew Rosenhaus is Brown's agent, he came out on a Miami TV station last night. He did ESPN this morning. And he said, look, you know, because a lot of people said basically that because Mayock did what he did, that now Antonio Brown holds grudges. Just look at the Pittsburgh situation. And he's never going to be in the good graces of Brown again. And it's going to really kind of turn everything and turn tides for the worst. And Drew Rosenhaus said, look, we talked to Mayock constantly throughout the day, yesterday, day before, even today. So they're still talking, and you hope that that's not the case. But from Antonio Brown's situation, the Raiders have done all they can do. I mean, they gave him $30 million extra money they didn't have to do. You know, they've been patient in handling this whole situation. Now we're hearing there's two other helmets that they've found that are going to be tested. But the thing that I brought up to you last week that I still stay adamant about, and look, if you're a veteran player and you just want to say, I want to skip some time in training camp, work it out. But the way this all comes across is you're too good for your team. Because while your team is trying to find you a helmet and having you try on, and helmet companies are sending you helmets, and these are all approved, and try this, I said to you last week, you don't have to participate in contract drills, but get the chemistry going with Carr. Run the routes. Be there with your teammates. Go to get the food and the meeting rooms and all the other things that make you part of a unit on a team. But that's kind of the other part of the quote we didn't have from Mayock, which is, and I think we maybe did, we got 89 other guys that are busting their ass that are here every day.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, like you said, you can say, oh, I have hamstring tightness. I'm not going to work out. I'm not going to play. I'm not going to do these things. Or just say, look, as a veteran, I don't want to get banged up. I'm going to sit this out and you know, maybe I'll play game three just to make sure mm-hmm. that we're all on the same page mm-hmm. for a couple of series, and then that'll be the end of that. And, you know, you could talk with your coach, Gruden, and get that figured out as well, and still do maybe joint practices and preseason drills. Just don't play the games. I think that, to me, you might have hit on it with the fact that Hard Knocks is there, and this may have something to do with it. Now, I haven't watched Hard Knocks, so I don't know what kind of coverage this is getting on there. But the fact of the matter is this turned from something where it was about the helmet to now it's about Antonio Brown.
Again,
and it's become less about the equipment and more about the man and the posturing and getting my way and being a crybaby and looking like a crybaby and being selfish and looking selfish. And at some point, I think this is why Mayock, and I'm sure, you know, behind the scenes Gruden is just like, God, dude, enough. Just play football.
And here's the thing, because you know what we're forgetting is it didn't start with Helmetgate. It started with frozen feet.
Yeah.
And so you've got that.
And they believe his feet are ready to go. Like, he should be good enough.
I don't know if you saw this or not, but during their preseason game last week, he went through pregame workouts. He suited up and was out there on the field running routes. Feet were fine. So the feet are a non-issue. But again, the reason why I bring it up is it's just another in the saga. First, it was the feet, and he was holding out of camp, and he was trying to figure out what was going on with his feet. Then now the feet's fixed, but now the helmet thing.
Right.
Then they think they're done with the helmet, and they had some guy get them a helmet that was post-2010. It didn't work out. Then he skips camp again. When are you going to put the team first? Instead of, like you said, it's like all about Antonio Brown.
I mean, that's not his track record. A guy like that's never going to. Boy, what a mess Pittsburgh was. When you look at Bell and now Brown, you've got to be thinking, if you're the Steelers, you're thinking, man.
I'm done with star players for a while.
Well, but here's the other thing.
We missed their talent on the field, but holy crap, was it not worth it.
Give me an up-and-comer who just wants to play.
Yeah.
At this point, if I'm...
I think a lot of people think Connor's going to take a step back, but I'm with you. I'd take my chances with Connor over all the headaches.
Yeah. But here's the thing. We heard and it was set up that Ben was the diva. You might give Big Ben a little bit of a pass now sure. because of all you're seeing out of Antonio Brown.
It's crazy, man. You know what else is crazy? Getting money through GetUpside. That's also crazy. And if you're not using GetUpside, you're crazy. You need to go out and download this app right now. Put it on your phone. You're going to love this. It's going to get you cash back on your purchases. And don't take my word for it, man. There are a ton of people here at ESPN that use GetUpside on a daily basis. I use it. Nick uses it. Aaron uses it. Jake uses it. AJ uses it. Aaron and his wife argue over who's going to get to go fill up the car and get the money in their account. What are you waiting for? Unless you absolutely hate free money, there's no reason for you to not be using GetUpside. It was featured on ABC 13, so it's not just me talking about it. And it's not just the hundreds of listeners that are using it talking about it. ABC 13 did a special on it, so check that out online when you get a chance. You're going to love the app, though, and it's so easy to use and intuitive. There's a map. And so what it does is you pull up the map and you say, hey, I need gas. What gas stations around me are offering a cashback bonus? And it shows them to you. And you pick the deal you want and you say, give me that deal. And you go and you fill up and you upload your receipt. And then with 24 hours, you have cashback in your account based on the deal that you chose. It's that simple. It's that easy. And if you ever have problems, their customer service is second to none. I love it. You're going to love it. And don't forget that promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. It'll get you extra cashback on that first fill up through the app. So do yourself a favor. Go download GetUpside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back and thank me later.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.
How would you?
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number 2, 3-hour show. I gave Lenny some props earlier because he got in there with the college traditions on the kids at the Children's Hospital in Iowa. And okay. He's a Buckeye. I'm going to give him props again. Uh-oh. Because
it's too much props.
He was getting into it with some of our listeners about the Astros, but in the process of doing so, in taking the point counter to point approach, he said potato, potato. And that's the deal, like you and I get into it about is it, and we always have like, is it this word or that? Is it pronounced sure. like this or is it pronounced like
potato,
that?
Potato, potato, tomato, tomato. Yeah.
So the two leading stories outside, everybody talking Texans here in Houston in the NFL, was the Antonio Brown situation.
Yep.
Okay, and then a lot of people getting into this Jay-Z versus Eric Reed as Jay-Z gets involved with the league and in terms of trying to help them with their entertainment and their community stuff. And then as part of it, it comes out he's also going to be a part owner possibly. And that's gone through a little bit of a back and forth. Well, obviously, ESPN at the forefront of all that, and they get involved in a discussion about, you know, whose side are you on? What do you feel? What are your different opinions? And Stephen A. Smith had made a comment towards the situation that Eric Reed took exception to. They asked him about it. They obviously went back to Stephen A. so they could have rebuttal. Well, they bring in Marcus Spears, who I like a lot. You know, the two ex-LSU guys that do a hell of a job on ESPN are, I love what Marcus Spears brings, and I love Ryan Clark. I think Ryan Clark's fantastic, and he's a great follow on Twitter. So they brought those two guys in. They were asking him their situations. Tell me, if you hear Marcus Spears in this comment, if he gets it potato or potato.
The plan, Jay. And then for the criticism that Jay-Z has taken, I don't understand it. Stephen A., since the annals of history, when we start talking about...
I'm sorry, what? Now, is that potato or potato? Because...
Stephen A., since the annals of history...
No, that is... That is not...
Like, I don't know what history you're looking at, but it's either Pornhub or a medical dictionary.
That is not the
word. I think
word.
It's supposed to be an extra N and an annal.
Yeah, I believe it is the annals of history. And that was unfortunate.
And even if you think Stephen A. is an ass, you can't go to the annals. You got to go to the annals.
Since the annals of history.
Nope. I want to chalk that up to country twang.
Do you?
I want to.
Oh.
That is not it. Because, you might be like, well, in the annals. But even then, if I did it, it's still annals, not anals.
Yeah. It's just the annals of history.
It's not good at all.
And like I said, Lisa was homesick today. And I go, whoa, what did he just say? And she's like, I don't think. And I go, let me rewind. And I rewound it. She goes, that's not right. And I was like, and that's going to make the show today.
Some other interesting things surrounding the story. One of them is the fact that I saw Eric Reed has come out and been very vocal about what Jay-Z is doing and getting in bed with the NFL. And I don't know who the dude was on Twitter, but he made a fantastic point about Eric Reed. He said, bro, you're over here calling out Jay-Z for being an owner and being involved with the NFL, but you're still getting a check from an NFL team. You're no better. Like, you're still actively participating and benefiting from the NFL. So stop hating on that dude if you're playing. Cap said, all right, Cap's not playing. I mean, he wants to play. That's the other thing. But still, Cap would play if someone would play him. Now, you can talk about the whole I want to be a starter or whatever,
right.
But he would draw a check from the same from the same people that he's feuding with. But again, Kaepernick's feud never started with the NFL.
No.
It was a political statement.
It
was a statement about his beliefs on where this country is currently. Whether you agree with it or not, the fact is that Kaepernick never took on the NFL directly per se. The initial part of him kneeling was to bring awareness to his message was to bring awareness to police brutality and people of color being shot by the police and harassed by the police. So I mean, there's some legitimacy to what Eric Reed is saying in a way, but in a way you're still involved with it. If you hate the NFL, why are you drawing a check? That's the first thing. The flip side to that is Jay-Z, apparently Jermaine Dupri was going to take a similar deal with the NFL. And Jay-Z told him, nah, don't do that. That's a bad look.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Talked him out of it and then took the deal he talked him out of.
Now that's dirt.
That's worse. And then I was like, oh, I wonder if that's just hearsay. So I actually kind of Googled it real quick. And you'll get different things that pop up. One of them is usually from a Twitter source. Funkmaster Flex said he called Jermaine Dupri and asked him, was it true that Jay-Z, that you were considering something like that, and Jay-Z talked you out of it? And he said, yeah, absolutely, it's true. That's pretty chicken bleep.
That's bad,
pretty
man.
Cowardly that you're like, man, don't do that. That's a bad look. You should slow down. You sure? People are going to hate you for that. Then you go out and do it? Nah, that's cowardly.
Dirty. And if it's true, Dupri probably had to believe him, considering the back and forth that he had with the NBA and being the part owner of the Nets.
Yeah.
There was that conflict there.
Yep.
So, I mean, if that conversation was had, I tend to believe that if Jermaine Dupri heard that from Jay-Z, he would like feel that was genuine coming out of Jay-Z.
Take it a step further, Nick, because you're right on the ownership, and then he had to sell the ownership so that he could get his agency off the ground so he could represent athletes. So now he represents what the players would think of it, represents what having known what it's like to be in discussions business-wise with a professional sports team and that angle in it. So if someone gives you advice like that, you're like, yeah, maybe it's not the right time. Then for him to swoop in and take it?
Yeah.
That's dirty.
Because if you're speaking with Jay-Z, you would assume that's a guy you can confide in, especially if you've had history with
him,
which they have. So,
and Jay-Z's point, if you're unfamiliar with what he's trying to accomplish, is he said that essentially his quote was, we've moved past kneeling. We're now trying to do some actionable things. Suggesting that kneeling was more symbolic and that there was really no specific actions behind the kneeling other than the awareness. I'll be interested to see what he means, because now he's saying by partnering directly with the NFL that is a key way to be involved in helping to shape the NFL going forward. And whether it be politically or otherwise, being involved and having a voice and having a seat at the table. Because a lot of people will tell you that if you can somehow get a seat at the table, that's the best way to make change. I mean, when you think about it in this history, you go all the way back. It's not until you start the people that are looking for change have a voice in politics that change occurs.
Well,
and how they get that has varied. But by Jay-Z taking a seat at the owner's table or just having the ear, maybe that's a benefit. I don't know, though.
This goes back to what you were saying that I was going to interject on, is the fact that it's better than having all of these exposed old school white owners that, whether they try and mask it or not, have not had the best interest of everyone at heart in decisions that they have been making previously. And then the other thing that I bring out to ask you guys about is the fact that I think the initial discussion was we didn't want to see Madonna recycled again and like Aerosmith and old school bands on an entertainment level. That's where they said that they got Jay-Z in at first, and then the whole relationship evolved into this whole partnership where it was getting the right entertainment for Super Bowl and other things, getting someone with a lot of insight into what's going on today, both it be in society and entertainment and otherwise, who's hip current now and what can we do better, to where they were trying to make it, like, spin it to make it look like this is a great new look. But I'm with you. Just having a seat at the table and having your voice heard could make some positive change.
Yeah, it depends on what he does with it. I mean, you still have to, once you have the opportunity, you know, do you try or do you just say, well, you know, I've kind of got it good now. I don't want to mess this up because, yeah, apparently Jay-Z's going to become a partial owner with some new business venture that he's involved in. I don't know what that business venture is, but as the world turns, I guess it's a bit of a, you know, drama and soap opera right now, but a lot of moving parts in this, right? You got Reed chastising him, but still playing in the NFL. Cap is on the outside looking in and, you know, throwing shade at Jay-Z by saying, yeah, they can say what they want, but kneeling is still, you know, it proves a powerful message or whatever. And you got Jermaine Dupri over here being like, that could have been me.
That was interesting that you validated me. That because that was crazy. I was like, I'm with you. That could have been just a wild rumor. But to hear that actually happened, that's dirty. Maybe he did what he did just so he could get an ownership stake.
Yeah. Pretty crazy.
And can you still do that when you have an agency?
She
couldn't do it in the NBA.
Well, so, as long as the guys that he's representing are not NFL players, right?
I don't know that.
What if they're NBA players?
Yeah, I was going to say, if it's another sport, I don't think it matters.
Right.
But if you're going to represent NFL guys and you're an NFL owner,
I would feel like there's some sort of conflict of interest.
Yeah.
All right, interesting things right there. All right, we'll continue to roll on. We've got an hour to go on the show, and we come back 60 minutes on the clock as we take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. All you got to do is keep it right here on ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.